Take a deep breath with that gospel, right? Like last Sunday and this Sunday and one more next Sunday is another big gospel. Right in the middle of Lent, we have these three sign gospels with the Samaritan woman and baptism, with the man born blind and seeing. And next Sunday, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, life from the dead. Today's gospel says, who sinned, this man or his parents? Did you ever wonder why people in the ancient world were so dumb that they would think somebody's sins could make their son be born blind? Right? Thank God we're no longer awash in superstition. Today we have science to tell us things like, an alcoholic mom or dad can make their son or daughter be born with a predisposition towards alcoholism or fetal alcohol syndrome or, oh, wait a minute. I guess science does tell us that the sins of the parents can get passed on to the children. Of course, the children aren't guilty for the parents' sins. Only their own. But all of us have suffered in one way or another because of the sins of our parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. In the gospel, Jesus was simply clarifying that this man's blindness was actually not the result of his parents' sins. He was blind, rather, so that the works of God might be visible through him. He's blind so the rest of us might come to see God working through him. And Jesus then says that we have to do the works of the one who sent Jesus. Hear that again in different words. We have to do the very works of God. And that includes opening the eyes of the blind. Seems a little strange why Jesus chooses to heal the blind man by making clay to smear on his eyes. But then, where else in the Bible does God take clay and use it for a purpose? When he made the first man out of clay and made him good. That man, and all of us since, because of our sins, have greatly disfigured how God intended us to be. But God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to heal our disfigurements. And this sent Son does the work of his father by also taking clay to refashion this man's blindness and give him sight. The sent one then sends the blind man to the pool called Sent to wash and be refashioned. But even after he regains his physical sight, he's not yet fully healed. Because when they ask him where Jesus is, he says, I don't know. I lost him. Can't see him. The one sent to the pool called Sent has lost the scent of the sent one. But he's beginning to see. A little later, the Pharisees ask him about Jesus, and he says, ah, he's a prophet. He sees a little more. His parents are fence sitters. That's our son, and he was born blind, but we don't know how he got better. We don't want to commit to Jesus, to the sent one, or anything else. The second time the Pharisees question their son, they say, give God the praise. we know this man is a sinner. And the man basically replies, well, the main reason I have to praise God is that I once was blind and now I see. The more he's forced to witness to what Jesus did for him, the more he sees. And that works for you and me too. You and I were washed in baptism by the sent one. Our fallen, disfigured nature was refashioned. And we've been sent to give witness to the works that Jesus has done for us. The more we fulfill our duty of giving witness, the more we'll see with the refashioned eyes of faith and the Spirit. And the man has to endure persecution for his witness to Jesus. And we will too. If we're really giving witness to Jesus, we'll endure persecution also. He's thrown out of the synagogue. But in the midst of his persecution, Jesus finds him. And there, reveals to him his own identity as the Son of Man, sent by the Father to create us anew. And now, for the first time, the man has clear eyesight. Because when he hears this revelation from Jesus, he bows to the ground and worships. When's the last time you bowed to the ground to worship the one who refashioned your clay nature? When's the last time you gave witness to your faith? Worship and witness. How do we witness to our faith? It doesn't have to be complicated. The next time a friend or a coworker asks you about your weekend plans, tell them it includes coming to Mass. The next time you're traveling over a weekend, tell the people you're traveling with that you need to plan in time for Mass. The next time someone says something negative about faith or about the church, calmly, lovingly disagree. I'm a believer, and I disagree. I stand with both Jesus and his church. Or maybe it's something like, check out the catechism. It's a great resource for explaining what the church actually believes instead of just reading something on the internet. There's lots of different ways to witness to your faith. Jesus refashioned the man's eyes, but he wasn't able to see fully until he witnessed to Jesus and worshiped him. In that first reading, when Samuel anointed David, the scripture says that the Spirit, from that day on, the Spirit rushed on David. In other words, it was an ongoing reality. And it was affected by how well David lived his life in worshiping God and in witnessing to the moral order revealed by God. St. Paul in that second reading says that once we were darkness, and now we're light. But then he says we must live in the light. All of our readings are telling us how important it is to live a moral life by worshiping and witnessing to our faith in Jesus. When we do those things, the Spirit continues to rush upon us, and we live in the light. And we too will do the works of God, including opening the eyes of the blind. Our worshiping and our witnessing will bring others to faith and work to heal their blindness, to heal what sin has disfigured in all of us. You and I must be his worshipers and witnesses to the ends of the world. So here's the homework for the week. This week, prostrate yourself. Bow to the ground. Literally. As well as interiorly. In worship of Jesus. And secondly, look for an opportunity to witness to your faith.